Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Glad you guys are here. If you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Thank you. If you're a guest of the room, guest online, man, thanks for taking the time to join us. We are in the middle of our series. We're calling it Road Trip. And if you weren't here last week, where were you? You missed it. I'm just kidding. We kicked it off last week, and this is one of those series that kind of builds on each other. And so, more so than any other week, I want to direct you. If you weren't here last week, I want to direct you to our app. If you don't have that, it's a great way to stay connected with our church, but also we put all our content there. So after today, if you have some questions about what we talked about last week, you can go back, you can watch, you can take it when you're traveling, you can stay in line. Some of you are watching on our app right now. Because last week we kind of began this journey talking about road trips. Road trips are something we all understand, and we're kind of using it as an image, as a picture, as a metaphor for life, because most all of us are on a journey. And for the vast majority of us, we aren't on that journey alone. We're making decisions for not just ourselves, for other people. And so just like a road trip, there's some questions we have to answer in life. And we looked at these questions last week. Question number one is, where are we going? A good road trip has to have a great destination. Same way for life. If you have a family, there's somewhere you want your family to go. If you're in a relationship, you probably have a preferred destination for that relationship. If you start a new business, you have a preferred destination for that. And so we need clarity around, okay, our family, our friends, this relationship, where do we want it to go? Where do we want it to end up? And second to that, once we know where we want it to go, we have to answer this question. How do we get there? What steps do we take to actually end up where we want to end up? In parenting, in marriage, in friendship, in dating relationships? What is the path to get where we want to go? And those two questions are crucially important. But if you've ever been on a road trip, you know there's one more question that we all have to ask, and it's this. Will we still like each other once we arrive? Crucial on a road trip, hopefully even more crucial in life. What is the point of going through life? What is the point of journeying with other people if your relationships don't thrive in the process? And so that's really what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. And last week, we sort of began our discussion by unpacking the idea that questions one and two have the same answer. And that answer is not really a place. That answer is not really a path. That answer is a person. And his name's Jesus. Last week we learned that on the road trip of life, Jesus is both the direction and the destination. And that provided some clarity in a couple of ways. Number one, when you find yourself faced with a moral choice, with a choice where there is a clear right and a clear wrong, where there is a clear opportunity, if you consider yourself a Christian, to obey God or to sin against God, to follow or to flee, we can be confident 100% of the time that a step towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. And my hope last week was that brought a lot of clarity to our lives. That we can know, hey man, when there's an opportunity for me to obey Jesus, if I obey Jesus, I am always stepping in the right direction. I'm always leading my family in the right direction. I'm leading this relationship in the right direction. I'm leading my organization in the right direction. That is always the best choice. That is the direction I want to go. But last week we also talked about the fact that there's a lot of questions that we have to answer in life where there is no clear right and there is no clear wrong. Who are we going to date? Who are we going to marry? What career are we going to pursue? Are we going to have kids? How many kids are we going to have? What school are we going to send them to? What college do we want them to go to? What do we want them to do with their lives? Should I start a new business? Should I change jobs? These are all questions that we wrestle with in life, and I've read the Bible cover to cover. There's not really a clear answer in there. And so this is where we go back to the truth. Jesus is not only the direction, he's also the destination. Which means when we walk through life with him, we can be confident in those areas of choice, in those areas where there is no clear right and there is no clear wrong. So not only do we step towards Jesus, we also learn that a step with Jesus is a step in the right direction. Because as long as I'm with Jesus, As long as I'm listening, as long as I'm saying, all right, man, lead me. This is where I think we want to go. Let's try this. As long as he's with me, as long as we're together, I'm exactly where he wants me to be. And last week, we kind of left it there, and I challenge you to go home, think about those questions, think about how you were answering them, and you're back, and I'm stoked that you're back, because we're going to pick up right there, because now we're going to learn, okay, how do we do this? It's one thing to say Jesus is the direction, the destination. That's a catchy phrase, but how do we live this out in our lives? How do we live this out in our relationships? How do we live this out in our careers? How do we live this out? How do we do that? So that's what I want to talk about starting today. To do that, I want to take you to my family and the way we travel. All right? Some of you know my family. I have three sons. Jacob is in sixth grade. Jonathan is in eighth grade. David is in 10th grade. And for those of you who don't know me personally, if I meet you in the lobby, let me go ahead and say what you're going to say. I didn't realize you were that tall. That's what happened, because I am very tall. I am 6'5". And my two older sons are both about 6 feet tall. My youngest one's catching up. My oldest is the tallest today. He may not be the tallest tomorrow, because my middle son is growing like crazy right now. Well, because we're tall, when we travel, there is a common struggle four of the five of us have. My wife does not have this struggle. The other four of us do. Leg room. We fight over leg room. Whoops. They fight over leg room. I don't fight over leg room. But we have had to learn, really my wife has had to learn some navigation, some negotiation skills when we travel. Because all my boys want leg room. And because she's a great mom, she tries to be fair in the allocation of leg room. And so when we drive, I am in the driver's seat and she sits in the front seat because she's the queen and she sits in the front seat. But she doesn't need any leg room whatsoever. So she basically moves her chair all the way up, like as far as it goes. And then David, my oldest, he's the tallest, he gets the seat behind mom, right? Because there's a lot of leg room. John, he sits on the third row. Our second row is two captain's chairs. So John sits on the third row so that he can lay out. And Jacob, unfortunately, because he's the youngest, because he's the smallest, he has to sit behind me. He gets the least amount of leg room right now, and he is shocked every time we go on a trip that he has to sit there. He always tries to sit somewhere like, buddy, you don't sit there. And it's like we've never told him before that that's not where he's going to sit. Every time he is stunned. There he is. He is stunned that he doesn't get to sit there. So there's some negotiation that has to happen. We have to kind of navigate that situation. Now, occasionally we will fly on a trip. Legroom, you can't really do anything about that on a plane. But then the discussion and the fighting is over who gets the window seat. You know, who gets the window seat on the plane? So my wife, again, trying to be fair, she plans a schedule before we go. You get the window seat on this leg. You get the window seat on this leg. Trying to keep everybody happy. Trying to be fair. And then whenever we get where we're going, there's always another fight over the beds. Right? Who gets the big bed? Who gets the top bunk? Who gets the bottom bunk? And again, my bride, because she is amazing, she tries to be fair and she tries to rotate and all that stuff because we're trying so hard. I don't know why we're trying to be fair, because fair doesn't exist, but we try to be fair. And as every parent in this room understands, you can be fair right up until the moment you can't be fair anymore. A few weeks ago, we were traveling. We were on a trip. And fair went out the window. You know why? Because my middle son, Jonathan, broke his thumb the first run, the first day of our ski trip. I mean, first run down the mountain, breaks his thumb. You know what happened for the rest of the trip? He got to sleep in whatever bed he wanted. And on the way home, you know what? He sat wherever he wanted on the plane. And he got to sit wherever he wanted in the car. And if anybody else said anything about it, we said, oh, no, you will not. He broke his thumb. This isn't fair. Life isn't fair. It's what we say to our kids all the time. Life, fair is a thing that comes to town once a year. Life isn't fair. We understand this. We teach this to our kids. We try to be fair sometimes, but we talk about life isn't fair. You get it. I get it. We all get it. So why, as adults, do we simply replace fair with another word and try to live our life by it? Because we do. Because you and I and all of us wrestle with tensions in life. The tension between work and home. the tension between time with our kids and time with our spouse. The tension between time with our friends and time at work. The tension between our own personal hobbies and time with other people. We all wrestle with those tensions. And you know and I know, we all know, life isn't fair. We would never say life is fair. But what is the word we try to build our life around in all those different things? Do not raise your hand. But how many of us in this room would say that we seek balance in our life? I'm just trying to find a work-home balance. I'm just trying to find balance between the time I spend with my spouse and the time I spend with my kids. I'm just trying to find balance between my friends and my work. Of course you say it. We all say it. We think it is a good thing. We think it is something that we should seek out with our lives. But I'm here to tell you today, balance is as fleeting as fair. In fact, I want to blow your mind this morning. Balance is a myth. Now, not literally, I understand you can balance. And you can achieve balance occasionally. The reason it's a myth is because balance is not sustainable. Watch me try to balance this cane. I want you to notice my eyes can't move. I can't look at you. I can't look around. In fact, I'm kind of having a hard time talking. Because balance requires intense focus. Because it's not natural. It requires a level of energy to make sure you get it right. But here's the problem. Life doesn't work that way. I want you to imagine my family is on my left and work's on the right. And I am desperately trying to achieve balance. And my wife calls, and my son has broken his thumb, and three of the kids have COVID. Guess what? I got to go this way. And so work's going to get let down if balance is my goal. Or let's say, man, I'm desperately trying balance, and somebody calls, and something happened at the church, and I got to go. I got to go. Well, then the family is ultimately going to be let down because I've made it my goal to live life balanced, to be fair. And what we don't realize is we've set an unsustainable goal for ourselves. And we're depleting and exhausting ourselves in the process because we can't sustain it. And inevitably, we are going to keep letting someone down. So my challenge today for all of us in the room is to replace the desire for balance with something better. Because here's the reality. You can read the scriptures cover to cover. You're not really going to find God talking about balance. You can read his son's teachings and his son's commands. You're not really going to find balance. Jesus was not a balanced guy. Jesus was a love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength kind of guy. There's no balance there. Jesus was a love your enemies kind of guy. Jesus was a forgive everyone kind of guy. So balance wasn't really a thing he talked about. I know you're sitting there wondering, okay, but it's not a bad thing. Like, we've got to figure out how to navigate and how to walk through these different times in life and how to have a thriving career and have a thriving marriage and have a thriving family. And like we've got to figure all that out. And I agree with you. You're 100% right. And your Heavenly Father agrees. He's just going to invite you today to change the picture, to embrace the idea that balance is a myth. It's unsustainable. And so what he's going to invite us all to do today is to replace that desire with a better, clearer picture. And to do that, I want to take you to someone much smarter than me. In fact, we are told within the confines of the Bible that this man, his name is King Solomon, we're told he's the wisest man that ever lived. He was King David's son. Have you ever heard of David? David was the kid who killed the giant, David and Goliath. He became king of Israel. And his son, Solomon, followed him. And when Solomon became king, God said, I'll give you whatever you want. And Solomon said, I want wisdom. And God said, you got it. And Solomon was so wise that God saw fit to actually have him write a couple of books in what we call our Old Testament, which tells a story of God using the nation of Israel to kind of begin his rescue mission and set up the earth for the arrival of Jesus. And in our Old Testament, we have several books written by King Solomon. And they're all about wisdom and how to be wise. And one of his books, called the Book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, he gives us a much better picture for how to navigate the different tensions of life. And here's what he says. He says, for everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And he keeps going. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Some of you are singing it with me in your head right now. If you are, you're showing your age. You're my age or older. See, you thought the birds came up with this. They didn't. They were just quoting Solomon. But see, I love this picture because it's so easy for us to grasp. Because we all understand seasons. And we understand that you behave differently in different seasons. We don't even have to talk about it. You dress differently in the winter than you do in the summer. You behave differently in the winter. If you're like me, you may even change your route to work. I drive to work differently spring, fall, and winter than I do during the summer because of all of our lovely, wonderful tourists. But you get this. We understand seasons change, and so our behavior changes with it. And what I love about this picture is what Solomon is inviting me and you and all of us to think of our lives, not as this one thing that we have to perfectly balance, but to think of our life as a series of seasons. And those seasons will require different behaviors. You understand this. You've lived this. If you have kids, the infant season is different than the toddler season, is different than the teenage season. They're different seasons. And some of you guys are playing both seasons at the same time, and I'm just like, God bless you. But there are different seasons at work. There's a different season when you're launching a new product, when you're closing a deal, when you're trying to get to the end of the quarter, when you're launching a new location. That's a different season than when, you know, things are kind of calm, things are kind of moving well, and kind of all the pistons are firing properly. There's a different season when you are in high school. There's a different season when you're in college. There's a different season when you get out of college and you have your first job. There's different seasons. We understand this. So what Solomon is inviting us to do is to apply this idea to our lives and to our families. By reminding ourselves, hey, guys, you know what? This balance thing, balance is a myth. We got to throw that out. Because you can't balance in different seasons. You can't balance out seasons. That doesn't work. It's not sustainable. So our goal shouldn't be to achieve balance in the seasons. Our goal should just simply be to stay together in the seasons, to walk the same way, to behave the same way, to function the same way in each season. And the good thing for us is we don't even have to figure it out ourselves. God gives it to us. He blesses us with this gift we're going to talk about today. Because see, balance is a myth, but as we're going to discover today, synchronization is a gift. The ability to move in unison through the different seasons of life. And it all revolves around one word, rhythm. Seasons have different rhythms. And I say rhythm because you understand rhythm. Everyone understands rhythm. Let me be clear. Not everyone has rhythm. I've seen some of you try to clap with TJ. But everyone understands rhythm. You listen to music. Music is governed by rhythm. There's a beat. And every person in the band plays to that beat. In fact, I've asked the band to kind of join us for a few minutes because I want to help illustrate this. Because if we don't get rhythm, we'll never get synchronization. Rhythm is the key. We have to find the beat that we're all going to listen to. We have to find the beat that we're all going to play by. Now, here's what I mean by that. Nicholas is our drummer. Nick has been with us since the movie theater, for those of you who know how long that's been. And Nick is the drummer of the band, and the drums kind of keep the beat of the band. They kind of drive the train. And there's one drum that really drives everything, and it's the bass drum. So, Nick, why don't you just give us a beat on the bass drum? Just give us a beat. That is going to drive whatever song he's going to play. Everything else he does is going to be built on that. Why don't you add a little flourish to that? Everything else is in sync with that beat. Now play out of rhythm. Okay, stop. Okay, if that didn't bother you, you can't dance. If you've ever wondered, can I dance? If you didn't know that was wrong, if you didn't feel that in your soul, no, you can't. My gift to you, can't dance. Okay, so that bass drum, those drums, they set the tempo for every person in the band. And it only sounds good, it only works when everyone plays together. Let me show you what that sounds like. Go ahead, play again. Everybody play. Okay. All right. So you hear that? Everybody, the guitar, the bass, the guitar, the keys, everybody, TJ with his acoustic, everyone is playing. Now, TJ, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How difficult is that?
You get used to it after a while, but it can be difficult, you know, when you start out, especially with a new band or if your drummer's not as good.
So what happened? What? Nick's very good. That's true. Yeah. He's very good. But what goes wrong if people don't play in beat?
It sounds bad. It looks bad. People are looking at each other. The Holy Spirit is moving out. no one will be saved. I get fired.
He's right.
It's all on you, Nick.
Yeah. All right. So you've been doing this a really long time. How do you make sure that you're always in beat?
Well, you have to listen. And the key is, you know, listening. You know, when you're with a band, listen to the drummer, follow them.
Yeah. But even if you listen, what if the music gets super loud? What if people are screaming? Like, what if, you know, people are just going insane?
It happens so often.
Yeah.
You can't hear because the crowd is so loud.
Right, yeah.
It gets...
TJ! Yeah. Right?
That's what, all the time.
Yeah, all
it
the
gets
time.
Ugly. It gets real ugly real fast.
Yeah.
You know, you speed up. We used to... Back in the day, man, we would have songs that we would start, you know, at one speed, and we'd end up like a freight train off the rails, and everybody's out of breath and can't play anymore.
So we would rush the song, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a sign of not having rhythm, by the way. All right, so what makes it easier now?
Now what we have is what's called a click track. So right here in my ear, in this headphone right here, we have a click track that keeps us on beat.
Okay, see, you guys thought this was just like so they could feel cool.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel cool.
So now, what's a click track? What does that sound like?
It sounds like this. Two, one, two, three. Can you hear that?
Who is that talking?
That's Karen. Karen is our computer lady,
uh-huh.
And she tells us what to do.
What do you mean?
She'll say intro, she'll say verse, she'll say chorus, and when she says that, we do it.
Okay. Yep. So, and does everyone have these?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got, okay. So everyone in the band has this thing in their ear that's keeping the beat.
Yep.
And she's telling you when to play, when to stop. What happens if one of you don't listen?
It happens every once in a while, and it gets bad. It gets real bad. And that's when you'll see us, like, we'll start looking at each other, or we'll look back, and we're like, what do we do? It's not pretty.
But when everyone listens, just simply listens to the lady, to Karen, you said.
Karen.
Everything goes well.
Yep. You got to listen to Karen because she gets the
manager. She'll call the manager. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Thank the band for us. All right. Now, I don't want you to miss what he just said. They have a voice in their ear that sets the pace. They have a voice in their ear that sets the tempo. They have a voice in their ear that tells them when to play faster, when to play slower, when to start, when to stop. And as long as they all agree, okay, you know what we're just going to do? what the voice, the system's called Ableton, by the way. We're just going to do what Ableton says. Everything works. They stay in sync. Regardless of the song they're playing. Fast song, slow song, song that changes in the middle. They can stay in sync. And the very same thing is true for us in any relationship we want to last. Any relationship where we're on a journey and we want to thrive and we want to succeed on the other side. There's a question that I can ask and that you can ask to help understand why this synchronization is such a gift. And the question is this: whose voice is in your ear? Who is calling the shots in your life? Who is setting the pace? Who is setting the tempo? Who is saying go? Who is saying stop? And not just you, everybody you're traveling with. Who calls the shots in your family? Who calls the shots in your friendships? Who calls the shot at work? See, Solomon has a suggestion. In another book he wrote, the book of Proverbs, he tells us this. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's no balance there. Trust in the Lord with all you have. In fact, he goes so far as to say, do not depend on your own understanding. Which means when your voice and God's voices differ, he wins. It is the hardest thing about being a Christian. To willfully say, you know what? I disagree with God, but he's God and I'm not, so I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to parent the way he says. I'm going to forgive the way he says. I'm going to love the way he says. I'm going to lead the way he says. Because he's the voice in my ear, because he's the one calling the shots. Because I want his voice in my kids' ear, and I want his voice in my spouse's ear, and I want his voice in my friend's ear, and I want his voice in my coworker's ear. And the only way to do that is for me to decide right now, I'm going to trust in him. And this is what happens when we do. When we seek his will in all we do, he will show us which path to take. Solomon is saying, hey, if you just orient your family, if you just orient your friends, if you just orient those relationships, if you just orient your coworkers around the voice of God, you make him the loudest voice. There's nothing you can't handle. There's nothing you can't weather. There's no season you can't thrive in. Not when you let Jesus be the driver. Why? We've been saying it. Because Jesus is the direction and the destination. So what would happen if we all agreed today to throw balance out? Because balance is a myth. Just throw it out the door and embrace the fact that the God of the universe wants to have a personal relationship with us and call the shots in our life. See, balance is a myth, but synchronization is a gift. Imagine the security and the safety of knowing that the God of the universe is calling the shots during those busy seasons of life. That the God of the universe is going to call the shots during the toddler season. And the God of the universe is going to call the shots during the teenager season. And the God of the universe is going to call the shots when you start that new business. And when you just can't imagine how far to go. And the God of the universe is going to call the shots when you get the phone call from the school and you got to go pick up all three kids because they're sick on the same day. See, if we're seeking balance, we're going to feel like failures a lot of the time. But when we understand that the God of the universe invites us into a relationship where we can live in sync with him and each other and allow him to call the shots, that's where freedom is found. Now, I know that's still kind of a high concept teaching. So what I want to do real quick is I want to give you just a couple personal examples about how we do this in our lives, and then I want to give you a practical step that you can take and I can take and we can all take to begin to practice this in our lives. This is not a message you can hear today, go out the door tomorrow, and perfect on Monday morning. It's not how this works. This takes practice. It takes a lifetime of trying to pursue Jesus. But with that said, my wife and I have been doing this for quite a while. And quick disclaimer, if anyone who knows us, this isn't a surprise to you. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We're not perfect parents. We're not perfect spouses. We're not perfect people. We lose it all the time. I lose it all the time. She loses it rarely. But we have picked up some tips along the way. So what I'd love to do real quickly, I'd love to just give you some secrets of synchronization that we've learned in our family. And real quick, let me tell you the current song we're playing at my house, all right? I already told you, three boys, 6th grade, 8th grade, 10th grade. They all three play baseball. Two play for the school. Jacob is managing for the school team and is also going to play for his rec team. They all come up here on Wednesday nights. They all volunteer on Sunday mornings. They're all in clubs at school. So if there's a song for our current season, if you're familiar with the song Flight of the Bumblebee, that is, that's our rhythm right now. And the way we stay in sync, there's a couple of decisions we made as a family. Decision number one, Jesus is the leader. My kids know this. I'm responsible for our family. I'm not the leader of our family. Jesus calls the shots in our family. We talk about that all the time. When we lead our kids, we talk, well, what does Jesus want you to do here? And here's the key, because again, we're not perfect. I mess this up all the time. I get angry, I lose my temper, and when I do, I apologize to my kids every single time. Because I have to teach them. Jesus is the leader. And when we fall short of his standard, he wants us to go repair relationships on earth that we break. So I go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? That's not what Jesus would have wanted me to do. We bring Jesus into decisions we make as a family about priorities, where we're going to go, how we're going to spend our time. Jesus is a topic of conversation in our house. Mainly because of the second decision we've made as a family. Jesus is the leader, and church is a priority. Now, some of you are going to say, of course it's a priority for you. You have to be here, and you're right, I do. I am not busy on Sunday mornings. I have somewhere to be. But we say no to a lot of things, especially in our kids' lives right now. We say no to a lot of things so we can say yes to church. We do. And our kids love it. They don't regret it. And here's the benefit that brings when you think about rhythms and seasons, okay? We have prioritized church as a family. We attend together. They serve. We're a part of this. It is a weekly reset and a weekly reminder of who calls the shots in our lives. Every week we come here, they hear a sermon. Normally it's me preaching it, but in order to preach it, I've got to live it. And so each week we're all hearing from God about some area of our lives. And then my wife, because she's amazing, she has this little bulletin board that's up in our kitchen, and she'll like put a bottom line from a sermon, or she'll put a verse, and then it's up there for that week, and we can talk about it. And we talk about it when we have dinner, and we talk about what is going on, and it just gives us all an opportunity to remind ourselves that, hey, we're all hearing from God at the same time, and we're all learning from God at the same time. They come up here every week, and they serve on Sundays. They get to give back. They get to be reminded each week, part of following Jesus is remembering other people are more important than you are. God's given you gifts, strengths, talents, and abilities, and he primarily gave you those to benefit his church and to benefit other people and to make a difference in the world. That's why he gave us all those things. And guys, as a dad, it is humbling to watch my boys grow into men of God because they're a part of this church. And some of you are their tribe leaders and their teachers and their coaches, and you have made such a tremendous impact in their lives. But because we have this weekly reset, it's easier for all of us to move in sync with God's voice because we strategically make it very important every week that we go, we sit, we be quiet, and we listen to his voice. So Jesus is our leader. And church is a priority. And the third one's a little more practical, but it's a good reminder. Technology is your friend. It has never been easier to stay connected and stay in sync than it is right now. The Apple feature, Find My Friends, has changed my life. Think about all the tensions of 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I'll be home in 5 minutes, and it's 45 minutes later, and that between minute 6 and 45, you just get madder every minute. Well, now you can look. Oh, they're still at work. Oh, they stopped. Oh, look at that. You know, it's just fantastic. You can stay connected. And so use that technology. Share it with each other so that you can stay in sync of what's going on. And for another thing we do, this is me. This may not be for you, but for me, the only way I can stay in sync and understand what's going on is to see it all written out. And so I'm a calendar guy. I put everything on a calendar. My wife has a monthly calendar in our kitchen. We put everything up there. Some weeks we look and we go, yeah. Some weeks we look and we go, oh, no. Like baseball season, oh, no. I mean, there are some nights all three boys have a game the same night. I don't know if you've counted. There's only two of us. But here's the benefit of using technology and being ahead of it. What you can do is if you're bringing God in and you see this calendar and you're like, man, next week is going to be crazy. You can decide now how you're going to handle it then. As opposed to the panic phone call. What do you mean you aren't home from work? You've got to go pick them up. I can't. A client called and it's just chaos. See, we can pre-plan how we are going to deal with the busy season. And not just us. When we invite Jesus' voice into it, you know we speak kinder. We speak softer. We speak more loving. We do things with compassion. And He brings wisdom. Sometimes you may say, you know what? Something's got to go from that calendar. That's too much. Sometimes He'll say, woo, that's going to be rough, so you need to really slow down right now to get ready for that season. Or, hey, we need to hang on. This season is going to be tough, but we got to plan something on the back end to recharge from what's been happening. See, it's not balance. It's rhythm. It's learning to live in sync with God's Holy Spirit and each other. Through the busy seasons, through the down seasons, through the happy seasons, through the sad seasons, through any season of life. And it all comes down to one question. Whose voice is in your ear? This is the question you are 100% in charge of. You have the power to determine who calls the shots in your life. Our suggestion is clear. We believe it should be Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the direction and the destination. So, how do we do this? Well, it starts with you having conversations as a group to really answer the question, whose voice is in your ear? Who calls the shots in your life? Who do you feel like sets the pace in our family? Who sets the pace in our organization? Who's driving the train? And if it's anything other than Jesus, talk about some steps you can take to make it Jesus. Some steps you can take personally, some steps you can take as a family, or you can take the step we're offering today, because we know this is not easy to do. And alone, it's almost impossible. That's why as a church, we have groups of people. Because we know the easiest way to follow Jesus, the easiest way to hear from Jesus, is to surround yourself with people who are trying to do the same thing. So today you can sign up to join a group of people who are all trying to make sure Jesus is the loudest voice in their life. We have men's groups, we have women's groups, we have groups for young families, we have community groups for all areas. We have groups of people who want to say, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I'm there right now. Hey, you know what? We went through that a few years ago. Here's how we navigated that. Here's how God helped us handle that season. You know the cool thing about a church our size? There is no one in this room who is currently going through something that we can't partner you with someone in this room who's on the other side of it. Whatever you're experiencing, we've got someone on the other side of it who thrived all the way. And we can partner you so you can have conversation. How did you do that? That's the power of groups. So what I want to do is I want to pray for you. And then we're going to sing a song. And as I pray and as we sing this song, I want you to really ask God's Holy Spirit, okay, whose voice is in my ear? Who calls the shots? And say, hey, God, what steps can I begin taking personally to make sure your voice is the loudest? And maybe that step does include joining a group. I want to give you time to think about that. I want to give you time to pray. I want to give you time to sing. And then you'll get a chance to take a step to turn up the volume of God's voice, not only in your life, but in everybody that that you're traveling with, to make his voice the loudest so that his voice calls the shots, so that he keeps us in sync through every season of life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're just so grateful for your son. We're so thankful for the wisdom of Solomon. And God, we're so thankful that you want to be intimately involved in our lives. So I pray right now that you will show us clearly the steps to take to turn your voice up, to make you the leader, to make every person in our life, to make every relationship, to orient it all around you, to allow you to call the shots, to allow you to drive the decisions. Father, we pray for the amazing gift of synchronization, the gift of being able to go through life surrounded by people that are all listening to the same voice. We thank you for that promise, and we ask you to show us the steps today to cling to it. We love you. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.